Praise God. Philippians 3:1-6. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you for the reading, Brother Milton. Before I begin, I'd just like to greet everyone and say welcome. If this is your first time, welcome to our service in which we are going through the book of Philippians. And today we will be looking at Philippians 3:1-6. And for the last few weeks, what we've seen at this point in the story of Philippians is Paul has been modeling Christian walk. And 2 weeks ago, Brother Milton spoke on the modeling of Christian walk, where he looked at Timothy as a model to us as a Christian and the impact of his walk and the credibility of his walk. And last week, we had a message by Brother Aaron looking at Epaphroditus and brotherhood. It looks at, again, what this Christian walk involves, especially as brothers, especially as men. There were points in there for all of us, male or female, to actually take something from. Now we move on to chapter 3, and now we see, so in the book of Philippians so far, Paul has modeled and made points using Christ. He's used Timothy, he's used Epaphroditus, and now he's going to move on to use himself as a model. And we're now going into the closing moments of the letter. And today, what I want to speak on, just briefly, and what Sister Claudette said, the heart of what Sister Claudette said is quite interestingly in line with the topic. And we haven't spoken about what I was going to speak about today. But when she was speaking, I was just like, bless God. But today I want to speak on the topic of a circumcised heart. And more importantly, what I want us to do, the one objective, I don't have many objectives for today's message, is to look at a question. And that question is my heart circumcised? Is my heart circumcised? And we're going to be looking at a few points in here. And I would hope that we can come back to this question, because whenever I speak, what I want us to always concentrate on is that, and as much as we may be sitting next to people or in the same room, we are here by ourselves and we are here before God by ourselves. And I would hope that we would be able to look internally and reflect on the points that are made for us to be open and vulnerable before God, because he is, and he alone is the one that matters. It's his view that matters. So before I begin, I just want to pray. So if we bow our heads, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your loving kindness, Father God. Father, which is new every morning, great is your faithfulness towards us. And Father, as we come together to share your word this morning, Father, I pray that I will decrease, that you might increase in me, Father, that you will speak. Let your heart be spoken of, Lord God. Let this not be about eloquence, Lord God, or presentation, but let this be about your heart, Father God, being ministered to your people. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord God, that our hearts will be of good soil. Father God, that our hearts would look to take the seeds planted in our hearts today and allow it to grow by watering of your word, Father. I pray that we will not leave today with what we just heard, but that we will go away and meditate on it and review, Father, so that we can answer the question before you to say, do I have a heart that is circumcised for you? And Father, I ask these things today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Just before I begin, can I just confirm you can hear me? Just do a quick thumbs up. Yeah, excellent. Okay, bless God. Okay, so as previously stated, what I want to do is look at this passage of scripture in two sections. The first is between 1 and 3. And what I want to do is just to look at the background of what's actually going on so that we can then deduce what we're being told and what we can then take away from it. So with the Gentile Christians, wherever Paul went to speak to Gentile Christians, in those areas, they were followed by a group of people known as the Judaizers, who were essentially promoting the message that in order for you to be Christian, you needed to go through Judaic law rituals. And one of those rituals was was circumcision. And they were saying that this was a vital process in order for you to be a Christian. And what they were basing this on is on Genesis 17, 12. And funny enough, we were going through this in my life group or my small group this week. Shout out to Oriana for a fantastic session. And what it says is that there was an instruction given to Abraham that as sign of this covenant, you will be circumcised, and everyone in your house, every male with you purchased or otherwise, will be circumcised. Anyone born after the eighth day, from this point onwards, as a sign of the covenant, you will be circumcised. And they believe that this was an important part of the process in order to become a Christian. And because of this, they were going around promoting this message. And this was something that the Philippian, as well as many other churches where Paul went to speak, as we'll see, were being targeted, and it was causing confusion as to what they should do. So Paul has now looked to address this topic in this portion of the letter, but he starts by addressing it, but he, as it goes on, and this is why this is really an introduction to next week's message, where he's going to go into the details of the theology behind what he's saying. But as an introduction, this is looking to address this concept that is distorting the message. So let's look at what he says. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but it is safe for you. This is a safeguarding for the Philippian church. He's saying, look, do you know what? I have no problem going over this again, because by me reiterating these issues, it helps you. And I am more than happy to do this. And he uses a bit of alliteration here, and he says, beware of the dogs. He says, beware of the dogs. This, I just want us to just see this. He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers, and beware of the mutilation. Now, the term dogs in those times, the way that we have dogs now, back then, dogs were not domesticated. Dogs were not pets. Yeah. And this was a term that was normally associated with Gentiles, non-believers. It was to signify someone being unclean. And Paul says to them, beware of these dogs, these evil workers, beware of the mutilation. And this is an interesting statement, because these guys are trying to uphold the law. But Paul was a Pharisee. He understood the law in detail. So for him to say this, there is a just cause for why he's saying this. Now, when we look at what's this issue was something that, again, was prevalent wherever he went, but he dealt with this in his letter to the Romans. And in his letter to the Romans, Paul made some interesting statements here to highlight that this idea that you need to be circumcised is false for the Gentiles. It's false. It's a false idea. And he said that, so in Romans 4, 9 to 12, he says, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. So under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Now, this is an important point, because what Paul is pointing out is that Abraham's righteousness, which they're trying to uphold in trying to teach these things, was not because he was circumcised. It was because of his faith before he got circumcised that entitled him to the seal via circumcision. So he's saying, anyone that's trying to teach this practice to you, to try to get you to circumcise yourself in order to become a Christian, does not understand circumcision. Because if they understood circumcision, they would understand that it has nothing to do with the physical act. The physical act is a physical indication of what should be working on the inside of the person. And this is why he calls it a mutilation. And when we look at the Old Testament, Paul was a Pharisee. And the point is that circumcision, yeah, was to indicate that God is interested in your heart. God is interested in our hearts. So when we go back to Deuteronomy, yeah, it says, therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, that you be stiff-necked no longer. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. In Jeremiah 4, 4, and this is just the first half of that verse, it says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. The scripture, so what Paul is highlighting is that in the scriptures, when you're looking at the process of circumcision, the physical was not the purpose of it. The purpose of it was an indication of what was going on in the heart. And in Romans 2:28, Paul again highlights it. He says, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely an outward and physical. No. A person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code, such as a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. He's saying that this is an inward working within a person. And he's saying those that don't believe this, they're outside. And that's why he calls them dogs. He's essentially saying that they are the spiritual Gentiles, that when it comes to this, they don't understand. So when he goes on to verse 3, he says something that's very interesting. He says, for we are the circumcision. For we are the circumcision. The circumcision is a sign of the chosen one, God's people. We are essentially the spiritual Jews living according to God's original instruction. And what do we do as part of the circumcision? What is the sign of this circumcision? What is the purpose of this circumcision? We are the ones who worship God in the spirit, number one. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, number two. And number three, have no confidence in the flesh. And just before I go on to that, I just want to look at some things about why is this circumcision in the heart? Why is it important that our hearts are circumcised? If we look at the scriptures, I just came, when I was studying, these were just a few that came to my mind, and I saw an important theme here. So when we look at Proverbs 4:23 in the NLT, it says, guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Luke 6, verse 45. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The circumcision of our hearts is linked to all of the manifestation of God in these elements of our lives. The course and the trajectory of our lives are impacted when we live a circumcised life. A circumcised heart, Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 1, he says, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The scripture says that the time is coming and the time is now that those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Why is this understanding important? Why is Paul highlighting this to them? Because he's showing you that as part of the circumcision, as part of the chosen ones, as part of the people of God, our lives are not about the flesh. And when we make it about the flesh, it's a mutilation of this belief. And just before I go into just the details here, I just want to highlight something that Paul did. In verses 4-6, to highlight that it's not about the flesh. Paul used himself and he said, look, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks they may have confidence in the flesh, I have more. Why? Because if the flesh, if the outwardly appearance is it, then I pass all of the credentials. I was circumcised on the eighth day, as instructed by Abraham. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two surviving southern tribes, which he states makes him a Hebrew of Hebrews. That means that there's no dilution in his family lineage. There are no Jews marrying Gentiles in his lineage. It is solely strict according to the law. This is what he was born into. Then when he looks at his life choices concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. If it was about the external flesh, I would pass. But as we see in verse 7, he says, listen, I count all of those things as loss. They are meaningless. They hold no weight. Why? Because they do not help me gain Christ. They are my righteousness, all of this, when we look at it, yeah, my qualifying righteousness, all of this is like filthy rags before God, meaningless. That if I have all of this and I don't have Christ, I am lost. I am lost. Everything that I do is nothing. It's a mutilation to make life about the physical to make it about the circumcision is a mutilation to me. And to bring this to a focus, the question is, so then what can we learn here as Christians? As he's saying this to the Philippian church, what is it that we learn here? The question that we must ask ourselves in this day and age is that as a part of the circumcision, is it evident that I worship God in the spirit? Now, when we say worship God in the spirit, what we need to understand is what we're talking about. When he said that those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, worship is not something you just do on a Sunday. It's not a song. It's not singing a song or clapping your hands. It's more than that. Worship is a lifestyle. I worship God in everything that I do. The Bible says, do everything as unto God. Worship is my lifestyle, my identity. The way in which I live is a sign of worship to God. It is a reflection of the heart. Now, if my heart is circumcised, it means I cannot take any confidence in the flesh. Now, when we speak of the flesh, what do we mean? Because we hear this term bandied about, and it can sometimes be misconstrued that it's just about the body. But when we're talking about the flesh, yeah, we're talking about more than just the physical body. It can relate to our emotions, which is a driver. It can relate to our thinking. It can relate to our doing, our speech. When we talk about the flesh can be influence every aspect of our heart. And that's why the scripture says, let us circumcise the heart, the flesh of the heart. Let's separate that so that the motivations behind the course of our lives, the motivations behind what we think, the motivations behind what we say, the motivations behind our treasures, let those things be a reflection of Christ. It is that, the heart, that needs to be circumcised. It is the heart that the process of separating the flesh, that thinking of the flesh, the justification of the flesh, the motivation of the flesh, the focus of the flesh, self-pleasing, me, I, what I want, what's comfortable, listen, there's nothing wrong with having ambition. But when my identity is solely focused in what I do, in where I come from, in what I have, that's an indication to me that my heart is fleshly. My heart needs to be purged. My heart needs to go through the process. And sanctification is a process of the separation of the flesh, giving over my will to God, that giving over my decision-making, my speech. You know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. Do you know why? Because that's displeasing to God. My identity is in Christ. That when we look at what Paul was saying, that, do you know what? Look, we who worship in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. My rejoicing is not in my self-achievement. My rejoicing is in Christ, that everything I do is about bringing glory back to Christ. If everything we do, family, is not about bringing glory back to Christ, it is for nothing. It serves no purpose. It is of no gain, Paul says in verse 7. It's of no gain. And what we're seeing today, if we look at our brothers and sisters in America, we can see a mutilation of the gospel. We see the mutilation of the gospel because it's not about Christ. It's about politics. I heard the other day a statement that said, if you're not a Republican, you're not a Christian. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Look at this. The mutilation of the gospel is happening right before our eyes, brothers and sisters. That when we trust in the flesh, this is what happens. And this is why when we look on a personal level, as I close, as we look on a personal level and we come back to a life of circumcision. Is my heart circumcised? The question is asking us to look at ourselves and say, is the motivation behind my speech, behind my thought, behind the trajectory of my life, in where my treasure is held, is it an indication of a heart that is circumcised for Christ? A heart that is reflective of the heart of God. That when people interact with me, they connect with Christ. They connect with Christ. If that is not the case, if that is not the case, it's of no gain. All of the riches. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his very soul? It's of no profit. It's of no gain, brothers and sisters. If our hearts are not circumcised, all of this material and all of this external, all of this haves and don't haves and achievements and culture and where we're from, all of that is worth less, of no gain. It is of no gain, brothers and sisters. It is of no gain, brothers and sisters. And that's why when we look at this question, we have to be honest with ourselves. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. Free from the bondage of deception. It is this question that can change the trajectory of your life. Because as you start to think of yourself and see where you are, the moment that you realize my heart is not circumcised, because when I look at my lifestyle is not a lifestyle that is led by the Spirit of God. It's not about returning glory back to Jesus Christ. I trust in my flesh. When you realize that, it's at that point that you're empowered to make a decision to say, it's today. Today is going to be the day that I make the decision to circumcise my heart and cut off the flesh, the fleshly motivations, the fleshly focuses, the fleshly direction. I am a child of God, a part of the circumcision. I am saying that it is an inward working in me. Paul is saying, look, if it's not about that, it's worthless. I want us to understand that our identity should come through Christ. Now, that does not mean that our culture doesn't matter. It does not mean that what we achieve and do does not matter. It does not mean that I need to ignore that I'm here. The Bible says that we are in the world, but it does mean that you need to understand that you are not of the world. That means that your identity should not be placed in things that can be mutilated, things that can wither away, things that can be destroyed. That if that thing is taken away from you, you are no longer what you were when you had it. You are putting your hope, your treasure in things that can perish. Christ will never perish. He cannot be mutilated. He cannot be destroyed. When your treasure is in Christ, your identity is eternal. It comes from something greater than you, which means that the enemy can never have victory over you because you understand who you are and, more importantly, whose you are. And that's the identity of a circumcised heart. I just want to pray. And I pray that we have all received something and that the Lord has been glorified today, that as we go on to next week and look at the details, that we can continue to think along these lines and allow us to continue to assess our hearts. It is our responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the pastors. It's not the responsibility of the evangelists. It's not the responsibility of your husband or your wife. It's not the responsibility of your parents. It's not the responsibility of anyone but you, because when it comes to judgment, you are facing God alone. So let us take this time seriously to ask ourselves, is my heart circumcised? Father God, I thank you as your word has gone out today. And Father, I pray over each and every person that has heard your word today. And Father, I pray for those who are looking at the state of their hearts and are saying, Lord, I want a heart after you, Lord God. I want a heart, Father God, that is circumcised, that is focused on you, Lord God. And Father, I ask for your help. Father, in this moment, I pray, Lord God, that today will be the day, the start of a journey, Lord God, in which you will work on the hearts of your people. Lord God, let us be a people after your own heart who worship you in spirit and in truth. Let our lives be a reflection of Christ, no longer a lie, Father God, a mask that we put on a Sunday or whenever we're in meetings, but let our lives 24 hours a day reflect you, Lord God, so that glory can be brought back to you. And Father, I ask these things today, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name, Lord God, I pray these things over all of us. Amen.